The Medrash poses a problem at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze that the Pesukim repeat themselves. At the end of Parshas Toldos, it says that Yitzchok Avinu gave a bracha to Yaakov, Vayishlach Yitzchok es Yaakov, Vayelach Baden Aram, Alohim Ben Mesuel Aram, Yachi Livke Em Yaakov. So it says that he sent him away and he left, Vayelach Baden Aram. And here it says the second time, Vayetze Yaakov Meshav, Vayelach Aram. Why does it repeat it twice? So the Medrash says that when he left the first time, he was going towards that direction, Vayelach Paden Aram, but he never got there. He stayed off in the middle for quite a few years. And Rashi quotes from the Gemara and the Gil, the whole calculation, to figure out that it was 14 years that he learned in Yeshiva Shem Diego. And then he had a second Yitzhiyah, and that was the second one. But the first time he left the family, first time he left his parents, he left to learn in yeshiva for 14 years. He was already holding by shiduchim, no? And then he learned 14 years. Not that he learned 14 years from kindergarten, but the 8 years of elementary school and then 4 years of high school is 12, and then 2 years into college is already 14 years of learning. He learned 14 years when he was already of shiduch age. And he didn't have that much to learn. How much were they learning around the Yeshiva Shem V'Yevah? The Gemara says, and Nachli is not permitted to learn the Taryag mitzvahs. Only permitted to learn the Sheva mitzvahs, the two. He's only allowed to learn their dinim. So Eidim and Achai. How much is there? Eidim and Achai is one simon in Yeridah. Eidim and Achai. Gezel. Gezel dinim. That's the whole Choshen Mishpat. Gezel. Arayis. Arayis is a big chunk of Ebenezer. A big chunk of Ebenezer. Noshim and Ezekim, basically. He was learning Noshim and Ezekim. Okay, so he learned 14 years Noshim Ezik. Kal v'chaimer that we have more than Noshim Ezik. We have the other chalokim of Talmud also to learn. So we should learn more than 14 years at an adult age, not just at a young age. The pasuk says, "Vayivka b'makom with a hey hayudia." The Rishonim point out. It doesn't say "Vayivka b'makom" that he happened to come upon a certain location. Says no, he came to that specific location. Bamakom with the hey haidia. Vayishkav bamakom havu. Keeps on saying with the hey haidia. 5-6 times keeps on saying with the hey haidia. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, the Ibn Ezra, and the other Meforshim, the Klayoka, they all say that al pipshuta shel mikra, it sounds like it's the Mokom HaMikdash, the Mokom HaMiyuchad, the special place that was already spoken of earlier, and it says earlier, Vayaras HaMakom Merachok, that Avraham Avinu saw the Mokom HaMikdosh from a distance. Vayaras HaMakom, and this Mokom must be referring to that Mokom. That's the tradition, that he woke up and he says, Ein Zekim Beis Elokim Zeh Shar HaShamayim Hamera HaMokom HaZeh. He realized that this is the Mokom HaMikdosh, and Taka later the Beis HaMikdosh was built in that location. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, God is Baruch Hu promises him that he's going to give him. Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha Elokei Yitzchak Ha'aretz Asher Atu Shochet Aleho. How much aretz was he laying on? How a person lays down on the ground. It's not so big. He said, "I'm going to give you that chelik. I'm going to give you that share. No big deal." So my apartment is bigger than that. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, it doesn't mean just the amount of land. He's giving him the whole Eretz Yisrael. He says, I am Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak, and I am going to, the promises that I made to Avram and to Yitzchak are going to be fulfilled in you, because the Kedushas Yisrael is going to go dafke in your direction. And he says, I had promised Avram and Yitzchak that I'm going to give them Eretz Yisrael. So that promise now applies to you. So why does he use the expression of Oretz Asher Ata Shochev Aleho? The country that a person lays down, goes to sleep in Manhattan. So the Baruch Hu wants to give him the whole America. So he says, the country that you were sleeping in, on the whole America. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle and he folded up the whole Eretz Yisrael, people call Eretz Yisrael, under Avram Avinu, under Yaakov Avinu. And he said, literally, the whole Eretz Yisrael he was sleeping on. That's a medrash. That's a medrash. And the Chazal gave an interpretation. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this nest? What prompted him? What is the symbolism involved? That it's going to be nocholi kovesh. It's going to be very easy to conquer Eretz Yisrael. If they'll keep all the mitzvahs properly, it'll be nocholi kovesh, just like Dalar Amishal Adam. They won't have to have a major war.
It wasn't easy.
Originally, it was supposed to be easy. They were winning all the wars in Nisim and the Flores, Yericho, and then because they were moiled, but they're in Yericho, they fell in a die. They fell through a die. But originally, it was supposed to be. If Bnei Yisrael wouldn't have sinned, apparently, it would have the whole Kibush Haaretz would have been with Nisim. So that's what Rashi quotes from Medrash. Haaretz Hashav Toshav Aleha refers to all of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kipol Kol Eretz Yisrael Tachto. But other Mefarshim say no. Haaretz Hashav Toshav Aleha means he's talking about the Makom HaMikdash. The whole parsha is about HaMakom HaZeh, the Makom HaMikdash, and he's telling him that the Hikas Chus of Bnei Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael is because of the fact that we hold from the Beis HaMikdash. You can't have a Chus in Eretz Yisrael without being interested in having a Beis HaMikdash. That's how the Chazal had a comment. We must have spoken about it by the Bris Bein Absorim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu is going to give him Eretz Yisrael, so Avraham Avinu asks, Bamo Eida Ki Yir Hashena, and what's Chus? Well, not that he doesn't trust the Rebbe Shalom, but he asks, Bamo Eida, and what's Chus? Will I have the right, will my descendants have the right to have Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Call the Eglim Mishuleshes, that means Bishchus HaKrovas HaKarbonis. And then the Gemara in the end of Megillah continues to carry on the conversation and asks that Avraham Avinu asked the Rebbe Shalom, what's going to be Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdashkan? What schus do my descendants have to maintain Eretz Yisrael? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let them recite the Parshas HaKarbonis Amal Ani Aleim Kilu Hikrivim. They have to demonstrate an interest in building a Beis HaMikdash. If they're not interested in building a Beis HaMikdash, not interested in bringing Korbanos LaShamayim, not interested in the religion, then they have no schus there. So you have to be interested in the Harabais and the Makom HaMikdash. So that's what the Rebbe Shalom tells Yaakov Avinu now. Ani Hashem Elokei Avraham Avicha Elokei Yitzchok. This is the land that I promised Avraham and Yitzchok, and you are not an Esav, are the one who's going to be carrying on that tradition. That's what Yitzchok gave the bracha, V'yitlchos Birchas Avraham. The Rambam quotes that passage in the end of Parshas told us that Yitzchak Avinu gave the Birchas Avram to Yaakov. What does it mean the Birchas Avram? That the Kedushas Yisrael is going to go to Yaakov and not to Esau. Be Yitzchak, but not call Yitzchak. Be Yitzchak to call Lachazera. So Yitzchak determined, Yitzchak declared that it's going to be Yaakov is going to have it. The Baruch Shalom confirms it. He says the brachas, the promises, the haftochas that I gave to Avram and to Yitzchak are going to be fulfilled by you. And the Hainu, the Makom HaMikdash I'm going to give to you. The Makom HaMikdash implies the rest of Eretz Yisrael, because the Ikar of Eretz Yisrael is the Makom HaMikdash. You have to be interested in having a Beis HaMikdash. Not interested, so you have no schus to Eretz Yisrael. What in the Mishugoyim in Iran said like that, Khomeini, years ago, they quoted in the newspapers around 10 years ago, that he said, yes, the Maid says in the Bible that the Jews are entitled to Eretz Yisrael. So he says, yeah, but the Yit Chazadeh. He says, those Jews are not entitled to Eretz Yisrael. If they would keep what it says in the Bible, they'd be entitled to Eretz Yisrael. That's exactly what the Chazal said. That's exactly what it says in the Tanakh. The Haftoch of Eretz Yisrael is not to the secular Jews. Secular Jews have no right to Eretz Yisrael. They don't believe in God. They're not interested in the Makom HaMikdash. They're prepared to be Mevatar on the Makom HaMikdash. So that's the Ikar of the Eretz Yisrael. They're not interested in Korbanos, not interested in the religion, so there's no schus to Eretz Yisrael. There's also a famous medrash on the pasuk that when Yaakov takes the neder, Vayidi Yaakov neder lemer, mi elokim imadi, and so on. Oy Hashem li lelokim, v'even azos Hashem samti masevo, etc. So the medrash comments on the hoya. Yaakov promised v'hoya Hashem li lelokim. He used the expression v'hoya, so the Medrash has a comment here that Lossi Lavoi, all of the Haftachis and the Yeshuas and the Nechomis and the Brachas will all be expressed with the word v'hoya. And the Medrash quotes Psukim from Yishayim, from Yirmiyah, from Treyosa, different Yeshuas and Nechomis that always start v'hoya. So what's the significance of this v'hoya? What's so important about that? So the Darshanim interpret that the Medrash means to say the contemporary Darshanim point out, in the last 100 years, when the Zionist movement began in Europe, after the Haskalah, so they rejected totally the whole past of the Jewish people, the whole past history that the Jewish people worshipped God and had a religion. They totally rejected the whole history of the Jewish people. They're going to start a new history now, Yesh Me'ai, not going to have any connection with the past. So that's what the Chazal, and this is a disaster. What nation in the world ever rejects its past? Every nation, every stupid nation in the world is always praising its past, and they try to build up a whole non-existent past. The Shvarts are making a whole non-existent tradition and Chochma and Lomdus, and everybody tries to build up their past, except for the Maskilim, except for the secular Zionists. They totally rejected the whole past history of the Jewish people, threw it in the garbage, and they're going to start something new. You can start something new that has no roots. It's going to fall apart. It's going to collapse. So that's what the Darshanim says, the Pshat in this Medrash. V'hoya is Lashon Ovar. Yeah, Vav HaMapeches converts the Ovar into Osit. If you hold on to your past, if you retain your past, you accept from Avram and from Yitzchak, and you're going to continue in that way, then it's going to be Vav HaMapeches is going to make it into a future. So that's what the Medrash says, that Lasi Lavoi, all of the Yeshuas and the Brachas and the Nachamas will all be with such an expression of Ahoya. And the Medrash quotes the Pesukim from Navi, that the Bnei Yisrael will hold on to their past and build on the past. So then the future will be secure, then the future will have roots to hold on to. You can't have a history of a Jewish people that has no past. Unfortunately, the people are running Eretz Yisrael now, have no roots at all, nothing. Ben Gurion didn't believe in God, but I don't know what it means, but he believed in the Tanakh. How can you believe in Tanakh if you don't believe in God? It's a problem. At least, these are roots. I used to quote from the Tanakh and the Knesset. All the time. Whatever it meant to him, but it meant something, at least he had roots. These people don't know from anything. The people now, the next generation that they brought up, they don't even know what the Garnish Nagarnish. They tell him Avram Yitzchak. They took a survey in Eretz Yisrael among secular children in school to fill in the missing word. Avram Yitzchak there. So 85% of the children didn't know what the third word is. Pesach Shavuos Vir, also a very high percent. They didn't know what the missing word was. Mamash nothing. Forget about observing Shavuos. Forget about observing. You don't know what the missing word is. It's unbelievable. No roots at all. So that's going to vaday collapse. Rav Soloveitchik always used to give drushes about why Avram Avinu is called Avram HaIvri. So Rashi and Chumash quotes different shotim. One shot Avram HaIvri. The whole world was Me'ever Echad, who Me'ever Hasheni. He was prepared to fight against the whole world. And then Rashi has another pshat. He came from Me'ever HaNohar. So Kol Olam Kula Me'ever Echad, who Me'ever Hasheni. So we understand the Torah is describing his heroism, that he's prepared to fight against the whole world because he knows that his shittas are right and they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. But what's the significance of the fact that he came from Me'ever HaNohar? So Avraham obviously used to speak about that the Jews were in Europe for so long in the Golas, and then the Zionists want to move back there to Israel. So they want to reject the whole past. They want to throw everything out in the garbage and start everything anew. So that's a disaster. You have to retain the fact that you came from Abraham. No, you have to retain all of your past traditions and build on the past traditions. If you're gonna try to build a future without a past, it won't have any roots. Elementary. Just when we daven Shema Yisrael, it says Elokeinu Elokei Avraham Elokei Avraham Elokei Yitzchak Elokei Yaakov. Everything by us is built on the past. If you daven, a person daven, so he knows the elementary things of our religion, of our people. The Gemara in Brachas has an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk Vayivga Bamakom. The pasuk shot means that he came to the Makom Hayodua, the Makom Hamiyuchad, namely, he came to the Makom HaMikdash. And he slept on the Makom HaMikdash without even realizing. And then Rabbi Shom told him, this is the Ikka, this is the essence of Eretz Yisrael, and I'm going to give you the Beis HaMikdash and everything else included. Giving Eretz Yisrael means giving Makom HaMikdash, and that's the main part of Eretz Yisrael. But the Chazal have an additional level of interpretation. Vayivga Bamakom is referring to Ein Pigiyah LaLoshen Tfilo. And it means that Yaakov Avinu recited a prayer. What prayer did he offer? So the Chazal had a tradition that Avram Avinu was Mesaken Shachris and Yitzchak Avinu was Mesaken Mincha, two different psukim, and Yaakov Avinu was Mesaken Tfilos Arbis. So usually Mesifrei Drush, they say, when was Yaakov Avinu Mesaken Arbis? Arbis, you say, in the middle of the night when it's pitch black outside. In New York, it's never black. The street lights are always on. But normally, if it's not New York City, it's not a modern civilized city that gets dark at night, and it's pitch black outside. You can't see anything, and people are nervous. People are scared. So here also, Yaakov Avinu is running away for his life. His parents told him he should run away because his brother is out to kill him. He had to run to Chutz Lorets. All his life he was brought up in Eretz Yisrael. Wasn't interested in going to Chutz Lorets. He would prefer to stay in Eretz Yisrael. So he has to run away and so on. So he's really petrified. So that was the tefillah that he offered. The ikar of his tefillah was he was praying at a time that it was a hopeless situation. It seemed at that time that he's never going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. He didn't know when his brother was ever going to calm down, the Meshuggah Neisa, when he's going to calm down. He didn't know if he's ever going to come back. So you have to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in circumstances that seem like they're hopeless. Avraham Avinu instituted Shachar. Shachar is when the sun is shining, and Avraham Avinu was an Ish Matzliach Miyod, and he was a wealthy man. He wasn't running away from anybody. He was a very successful businessman, and everybody, the kings at that time, were jealous of his success. And Rashi quotes in the Medrash that they used to have an expression, they'd rather have Zevel, Yitzchak also, Zevel Predosim Shal Yitzchak, Lakas Bezove Shal Avi Melech. Avraham and Yitzchak were very wealthy people. This Yaakov Avinu, he ran away penniless. He had nothing. So the Tefillah Shachris, the emphasis, when Avraham Avinu davened it, the emphasis really was on Hoidoya. It means when you daven, you have to start off with Shevach, and then you have Bakoshes Torah, and then you have Hoidoya. So by Avraham Avinu, he was a very successful person. So by him, the essence really was the Hoidoya. Everything was going well. Like by us, you know, more or less, we're healthy, our parents take care of our needs, everybody has money, no one's starving. So what are we really asking for? Everything is going well. So we really, the essence of our prayers, like by us, everything is like Shachos. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the kindness that he gave us, and we ask that she continue to give the kindness. But a person like Yaakov Avinu, he's running away. The emphasis in his prayer is really on the Bakoshas Tarachim at a time that it really seems terrible. Like the Jews in Eretz Yisrael who are praying now. That's a p'china like Yaakov Avinu. That's really Mimamakim. And Yitzchak Avinu's prayers, Mincha, that the Gemara says, the Gemara speaks about the significance of davening Mincha. That Eliyahu HaNavi was only entered Bahar HaKamal at the time that he daven Mincha. How important it is, a person should always be careful to daven Mincha. What's the significance of davening Mincha? If you're davening Shachris and Mar, what's the significance of davening Mincha? So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over in the name of Bali Hadrush, Mincha is usually in the middle of the day when people are busy going to college, or people are busy at work, or people are busy in base marriage. Everyone's busy in the middle of the day. Shachris you can daven and get out of the way, and then Mar you can daven later in the day. Mincha is always in the middle when everybody's really has a thousand other things to do. So a person has to take out time from his busy schedule and daven Mincha. And if the person does, he's Moisa Nefesh to make sure that he davens Mincha at the correct time, not to forget that he forgot to daven Mincha, he's going to make Tashlum and this and that. Daven Yechidus, if he designates a specific time and he only davens Mincha, then he's going to be Yensid. Eliyahu HaNavi was Yensid B'Shas Mincha. When a person sets aside time from the busy time of the day, that's the significance of davening Mincha. The Medrash found it difficult to understand why in the imagery of the dream of Yaakov Avinu, how come the Malachim are all in the Yordam, how come the angels are first going up then coming down? We usually imagine angels living in heaven. So shouldn't one imagine the angels coming down and then going up? Should it be Malachim Yordam v'Olam both? Should it be Malachim Yordam v'Olam? So Rashi and the Midrashim have different, that's what they're working on, this problem. So Rashi has one famous interpretation from the Medrash. The pasuk says, "Ki malachu v'tzav alach l'shmocha b'chol derachecha." The HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends malachim to guard the tzaddikim, and there's more hashgacha pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lorets. So the malachim of Eretz Yisrael are different malachim. Malachim of Chutz Lorets are different malachim. So the malachim or olim were the malachi Eretz Yisrael who always went along with Avraham Avinu. The whole dormitory full of malachim is stacked upstairs. But there are malachim going with Yaakov Avinu, his private bodyguards. They're going with him wherever he went. They went with him. But he's about to leave Eretz Yisrael, so there's going to be a change of the guard. So the malachim olim, malachi Chutz Lorets went up, and Yordim, new malachim came from the dormitory, and the whole makam Abiyuchad, the malachim, new malachim came. Different Malachim came down. That's where Rashi quotes the switching of the guards. And then at the end of the Seder, when Yaakov Avinu is about to return back to Eretz Yisrael, he says, Machan Elikim Zem, Veikur Shem HaMach Mahu Machanoim. The switch was in the reverse order. Rifi Gubo Malachi Elikim, he's about to come back into Eretz Yisrael. So the Malachi Chutz Lords go back to the dormitory. Malachi Eretz Yisrael come down now to go with Yaakov Avinu to Bavleit Yaakov Avinu when he's going to travel in Eretz Yisrael. That's one interpretation that the Medrash has. Then the Medrash has another interpretation. Olam Yordim sounds like the rise and fall of any given country. The rise and fall of the Roman Empire. Rise and fall of the Third Reich. So there's such a Medrash that Malachim Olam Yordim, the Malachim mean the Malachim that represent each one of the nations. The Psukim later in Ksuvim, in the end of Ksuvim, where the Psukim use the expression that every nationality has its tsar, has a malach who takes care of the needs. The American nation has a malach, and the British have a malach, and the French have a malach, and the Russians have a malach. Each Ummah v'Loshon has a malach. And every nation has a rise and fall. You can predict the rise and fall of every nation. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was showing Yaakov Avinu, look at this, look at the rise and fall of this nation, the rise and fall of that nation, the rise and fall of that nation. And then he tells Yaakov Avinu, and the ladder is the ladder of success, like the expression goes in America. And every nation goes, climbs up the ladder. The malach going up the ladder represents the fact that every nation has a time that it's successful. And then it falls, then it disappears. Then HaKadosh Baruch encourages Yaakov Avinu, okay, now it's your turn, you go up. So he says, no, I'm going to go up and I'm going to also fall. Going to have the rise and fall of the Jewish nation. So Ribbono Shel Olam promises him, no, you go up, you won't fall. Take my word for it. I'll be with you. You go up, you won't fall. So the Medrash says that Yaakov Avinu was petrified. So he said he doesn't want to go. So the Ribbono Shel Olam said, because you didn't trust me, that's why there's going to be tzoras throughout the history of the Jewish people. If he would have had more bitachon, he would have trusted HaKadosh Baruch, he would have gone up. We would have never had any ups and downs. It would have been only an up, going up with full success. That's an interpretation that also appears in the Medrash. Malach Elokim Olim Yordim, representing the rise and fall of every given nation, and here HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov that he should go up. Dinei Hashem Nitzav Olam. Hashem is on top of the ladder. He says, "Climb up, and I'll keep you here." He was afraid to go. Then the Gemara Chulin has a different interpretation, and many interpretations on this. What's going on with the Malachim going up and going down? The Gemara Chulin has a different interpretation. That on the Kisei HaKavoy, there's a pasuk in Yecheskel. It says on the Kisei HaKavoy there are both opponents. There's the Mus Aryeh, the Mus Nesher, the Mus Kruv, and the Mus Odom. And the Dmus Adam, according to the Gemara, is the Musa Shal Yaakov Avinu, the image of Yaakov Avinu. So the Malachim saw that this was Yaakov Avinu sleeping here, so they were Olim, they went up to heaven to see the Dmus Diyukno Shal Yaakov, that's Chakuk Al Kisi HaKavod, and then they came down to see if Yaakov Avinu corresponds to his potential. Did he live up to his potential? And they saw, then the Gemara continues, in the beginning of Pergit Anashu, so the Gemara continues and says, the Malachim saw doesn't correspond. This man has such great potential that his image is on the Kisei HaKavod. He has the courage to be Gevaldik, Gevaldik. So what's he sleeping for? What's the guy sleeping for? He should be accomplishing something in this world. Sleeping away all his life. He should accomplish much more. So the Medrash and the Gemara says in the Medrash, Rabbah has, Bikshu Lahargai. They felt that he deserves an Einish Misa because he's not living up to his potential. He didn't violate any particular Avera, but just the fact that a person doesn't maximize all of his potential, that itself is enough of an Avera, that Bikshu Lahargai. So the pasuk continues, V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Olav, Hashem was on top of Yaakov Avinu, protecting him, that the Malachim shouldn't kill him. Give him a break, don't cause him to die. Because the Mefarshim have two pshotim, V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Olav on the ladder, or Olav on Yaakov. So according to this interpretation of the Gemara, that the Malachim Bikshu Lahargai because he saw that he doesn't compare to what his potential was, so Hinei Hashem Nitzav Olav means on Yaakov Avinu when he was protecting him. Hinei Anochi Imok, Ushmaticha B'chol Asher Telech, he's going to protect him the whole time. Rav Chaim Volozhin has a long arichas on this in his Sefer Nefesh HaChaim. He quotes from the Zohar that when it says Avraham Avraham, so there's a psik begavei. By the Akkad it says Avram Avram, so there's a psik, not in the Chumash, but it's in the printed Chumashim, it's not in the Sefer Torah. Printed Chumashim means that there's a line, means that when you're laying it, you're supposed to pause. Avraham, Avraham, you're not supposed to lay it together. And whenever it says the name of any tzaddik in Chumash mentioned twice, he's supposed to pause in between the first mention of the name and the second mention of the name, except for Moshe Rabbeinu. When it says Moshe Moshe, then it says in the Zohar that there's no psik degabe. What's the significance of yes psik degabe, lo psik degabe? So that's why Rav Chaim Volozhin has this long essay. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu was the only tzaddik in the Tanakh who ever lived up to his, whoever maximized his potential to the fullest. That he, whatever he was able to do, that's what he did, and he dedicated his whole life to Avodas HaKodesh. And the other tzaddikim, as great as they were, there is a psik begavei. They don't, their actual life biography doesn't really correspond to what they could have accomplished in life. So that's why Avraham, one Avraham represents what he could have become in the file cabinet up in heaven. They have this potential of what the neshama could have become, and the second Avraham represents what he really became, and there's a psik, there's a pause in between. It doesn't correspond. That's a famous vertu that one of the svarim has, that when Yaakov Avinu wakes up, he says, Achen yesh Hashem ha-makom hazeh, ve'anochi lo yadoiti. Achen he knew, anochi he didn't know. Achen is the Rosh HaTevis, Arye Kruv Nesher. He said, he knew about the three faces on the Kisei HaKol. Anochi, Arye, Nesher, Kruv, Yaakov, lo yadoiti. I didn't know that my face was on the Kisei HaKol. And now he saw, because he saw the Malachim going up and checking his face, then he came down and he saw it doesn't correspond, they wanted to kill him. That's what, there's a Sefer Pnini Mikorn quotes all these vertlach. So he has this one, Achein he knew, and Anochi he didn't know. I remember many years ago, I was a little boy before my bar mitzvah. So after my great uncle came in, my grandmother's brother came in from Canada. I hardly ever saw him, once every 5 years. He came in, must have been someone's wedding, I don't know, some special occasion. So he said, I should tell him about Paris. He was a balabas. I started telling him I was learning Chumash, Gemara, Mishnayos, whatever. He didn't appreciate anything. My father said, I'll tell you Advar Torah. It must have been Parshas Vayetzeh. He said, oh, that's Advar Torah. Achein, Anochi, that's Advar Torah. Tell him, Abba Ovis Nezikin or something. Tell him that Ovis and told us and Shittim Kupetz or whatever. He didn't appreciate it. This is real Torah. Achein, as opposed to Anochi. That's a gizok. He wanted to tell him that the essence of Eretz Yisrael is dependent on the Makom HaMikdash. If you'll get the Makom HaMikdash and you'll be interested in using it as such, then you'll get the rest of Eretz Yisrael. If you're not interested in the Makom HaMikdash, then you won't get the rest of Eretz Yisrael. It's very relevant these days. The present government is prepared to be mevater on the Makom HaMikdash. As long as I get Tel Aviv. That's the Ikar by them. Tel Aviv, other areas, beach in Tel Aviv. The Magen Avraham in Hilchos Shabbos in Simei Reish Pei Bei in Hilchos Shabbos is all about Kriyas HaTorah. So the Magen Avraham quotes from the Hagoyes Maimoni that in Parshas Vayetzeh there are no hafsokas. So the Bashi Pshat is that from the beginning of Vayetzeh till the end, till Vayishlach, there are no psuchas and no stumas, just keeps on going. But some sofrim misunderstood this comment of the Hagoyes Maimoni. So they thought that Vayetze is the same as Vayichi. That just like Vayichi, in between Vayigash and Vayichi, there's no hafsoka. I mean, there's hafsoka between one word and the other. But there's no psucha and there's no stuma. It just keeps on going. So some of the sofrim wrote Sifrei Torah. Rashi writes in the beginning of Vayichi, Loma Parsha Zu Stuma. That's the Rashi beginning of Vayichi. So what does it mean Parsha Zu Stuma? So some say that there's supposed to be a stuma there. Vayifu Vayibu Miyo, the end of Vayigash. Then Vayichi, there's supposed to be a stuma. So the Mepharshim say that's a mistake. It doesn't mean that. It means Parshas Stuma means that there's nothing there. There's no psucha, there's no stuma. It just goes from one pasuk to the other. That's in chapter 47, between pasuk 27-28. There's no hafsak over there. Just keeps on going by chit. That's the Pasha Pasha, Parshas Stuma. So the some sofrim misunderstood and they thought that between Toldus and Vayetzeh, the Magen Avraham quoted from the Hagaras Maimon is supposed to be Stuma, means that there's nothing there. No, there is a Stuma. And Nishari Ephraim writes, if you happen to open up the Sefer Torah for Kriyas HaTorah and you see that the beginning of Vayetzeh there's no Stuma, so you better take out a different Sefer Torah. It's possible, because if there's if you have a Parsha where it doesn't belong, or you don't have a Parsha where it did belong, so the Sefer Torah is possible one way or the other. There is supposed to be a Stuma here. There is supposed to be. It says Sama, Sama, Sama. It is supposed to be a Stuma. But what the Hagaras Maimon meant was that throughout the Parsha, the whole Parsha is one big unit. There are no parshias in the middle. There are no psuchas or stumas in the middle of the parsha. The Gemara has a comment in Psachim that the same location where Avraham Avinu did the Akedah, Avraham Avinu referred to it as a Har Maria. So the same location is referred to by Yaakov Avinu as a bias, Yeh Beis Elokim. And the Gemara fills in the story that Avraham Avinu called it a Har and Yitzchak Avinu called it a Sode. And Yaakov Avinu, Ayetzi Yitzchak Lasuach Basode. So the Medrash understands that he was davening also. Basode means in the Har Maria. And Yaakov Avinu refers to it as a bias. What's the difference? The Gemara never explains, but the Gemara says that Lasi Lovar, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, all the goyim will say, L'chuv Nelcha, Al Har Hashem, Al Beis Elokei Yaakov, something like that. So Al Har Hashem, Al Beis Elokei Yaakov, they'll emphasize. They'll go to the Har Hashem, but not the way Avraham Avinu called it the Har Hashem, and not the way Yitzchak Avinu called it the Sode. No, it's going to be the highest Madrega, the way Yaakov Avinu referred to it as the base. Base Elokei Yaakov. Base Elokei Yaakov. So what is the significance of a bias as opposed to a Har and a Sode? It's a little unclear. So Rav Kook has an interpretation that his Chassidim say over. That a har is open to the public. A har and a sada is open to the public. A har you can see from a distance. Everybody can see the har. A sada you can't see from a distance, so it's also open to the public. And a bias means that it's very restricted. The people in the bias are there. It's exclusiveness. So the original form of the religion was Avraham Avinu was going around big guy of everybody, getting Avraham Agayeris on Roshim, Misorah Agayeris on Roshim. Yitzchak also was pretty inclusive. He was also there. The Medrash says, on the pasuk by Yechi, how does it say? By the beginning of Ayesha. Yeshiv Yaakov Beretz Megure Yovid Beretz Kinoam. So the Medrash says that the word Megure doesn't only mean the land where his forefathers dwelled, but also means the land where his parents did Gerus. That he continued in the footsteps of his father Avraham. Then it was Megayer, and Yitzchak was actively engaged in proselytizing the Goyim, and Yaakov was also engaged actively until a certain point in his life that they stopped. But in the first part of his life, the first half of Yaakov's life, he was also actively engaged in being Megayer all of these people. And then at a later point, Yaakov Avinu realized that he doesn't need all these gerim. That the way Bnei Yisrael are going to be an Or LaGoyim will not be that we'll go preach monotheism to that. We'll mind our own business. We'll have the Yudvei Shvatim. It's enough to keep anybody busy, to raise all of the children, such a big family, Yudvei Shvatim with Dina and a couple of Chassidim also. So it's busy enough, and the Jews will serve as an Or LaGoyim by keeping to themselves and minding their own business, and they'll have exclusiveness. That's what Rav Kook says, that the nations of the world, all along, throughout all the years of world history, don't appreciate why the Jews are so exclusive. why they insist that the only approach to God is the correct approach to God is by speaking all the mitzvahs and so on. Why don't we have an open religion that should be easier to observe?
So, in the Jewish home is the most important part of the problem. Maybe
When Yaakov had a Jewish home, right, exactly. Avraham Avinu didn't have, one of his sons was not Jewish, Yishmael wasn't Jewish, and Yitzchak, one of his sons, also a goy. And Yaakov had a Jewish home, so that was mitos shleima. So from that time on, when he realized he has a full home, all of his children are Jewish, and from now on, there will be such a thing as a Jewish home. So from that time on, we emphasize the significance of raising a Jewish family, and by that method, we'll have the hashpu on the goyim. We'll be an orla goyim by keeping our own, maintaining our own families. Yeah, that's what the mafarshim say. The pashup shat is. So Rav Kook interpreted that he thought that's what this means also. That har and sada are very open things, and bias is only the people inside the bias are there. There's exclusiveness. So the nations of the world will always wonder why the Jews are so exclusive. So the pasuk says that lasi lavoi. The nations, Yomer, Kolagoyim, Bechuvenal, Al Har Hashem, Al Beis Elikayakov, after all of history will be unfolded, then they'll realize that it made sense that the mitzvahs that we kept, that maintained our exclusiveness, that we didn't intermarry, we didn't have any sheikhs, but not supposed to have any sheikhs, but Yom HaSoylam, this is what maintained the integrity of the Jewish people. And they'll come to appreciate Lasi Lava, why Yaakov Avinu switched at a certain point in his life, and he no longer was Megayer the masses, and he said, no, he has to raise his own family. Has to be a bias. The Chasam Sefer has it this a little, and Rav Kook suggests that maybe that's the pshat in the Inyan of Matzeva, that the Pasuk says, that originally Bizman Ha'avos, it was Ahuva. HaKadosh Baruch appreciated that they used to make a Matzeva. And later generations, in Chumash Devarim, it says, Hashem doesn't want us to make any more Matzevas. What's the difference what is a Matzeva? So the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, when he quotes this concept of Matzeva, says a Matzeva is a big stone that calls attention, that can be seen from a distance, that calls attention to it, that people rally around it and they worship God in Misaviv-lo, around the Matzeva, as opposed to a bayis, with a Matzeva where the worshipping is done in public, as opposed to a bayis where the worshipping is done in private. It's more exclusive and more private. So Rav Kook understood that that's the significance of the Matzeva, that it was Ahuva, Bizman Ha'avos, and Snua later, Bizman Abonim, means Matzeva means to have public worshipping of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all inclusive, to try to get everybody to join the Jewish religion. Jewish religion only consisted of monotheism, that was all. Monotheism, Bismillah is a symbol for monotheism. But in the later generations, when the whole Jewish family was developed and all of the rest of the mitzvahs were given, so then it's not for everybody, it's only for a select group of the Jewish people. That's Rav Kook understood this concept, that the Matzeva was Ahuva Bizman Ha'avos and Snua later in the later generation. Matzeva means getting all the masses to worship God, as opposed to the later generation, that it's a bias. The Chasam Sofer on this week's Seder has a different interpretation of why Bizman Ha'avos, the Matzeva was Ahuva, and why later in later generations became Snua. So he says a definition, Rashi and Chumash says the definition of Matzeva as opposed to a Mizbech is the Matzeva means there's one stone and you offer karbonis on it, and a Mizbeach consists of many stones put together. So the Chasam Sofer says that in the days of Avram Avinu, Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, there was only one approach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way Avram Avinu approached God, that was it. There wasn't any room for any other approach. And later, after the Yud Beis Shvatim were born, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressed his interest in having variety, the whole idea of Yud Beis Shvatim is that there should be 12 different approaches to Avodas Hashem, the whole idea of Eilu V'Eilu Dibre L'Kim Chayim. So from that time on, the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't want that there should only be one. He doesn't want that there should be Matzeva, only one Derech and Avodas Hashem. He wants to have different Derechim and Avodas Hashem. So Bizman Abonim, the Matzeva was Snua. The Rebbeinu Shlom Medavke wants a Mizbeach that consists of many Avonim together. In fact, there's such a Medrash on today's Sedra. It says Vayikach Neyavne Hamakom Vayasem Rashoisav. Then it says Vayikach Hasevin Asher Sam Rashoisav. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara Chulin. At first, it's using the plural, then it uses the singular. It sounds like originally there was more than one Evan. Then it says there was only one Evan. A problem. So the Gemara says all the Avonim melted together. They blended and they made one big Evan. So there's such a Medrash on Parshas Vayetzei. The Torah Shleimer quotes this Medrash that there were 12 Avonim and they all melted in to become one. What's the significance of 12 that melt in to become one? To show that the Rabbanu Shalom wanted Yud Bei Shvat and different drachim and Avodas Hashem. He wants different styles of Avodas Hashem. But they should all melt in to be one. So one Jewish religion. It's not supposed to be different religions. But Cook has an interesting comment on in this context. The Gemara in different places refers to learning Torah as Mechamta Shel Torah. So when you wage war, you use all different kinds of weapons. We use tanks and machine guns and all kinds of things. So the Gemara has an expression in different places. One Gemara is in Brachas, and other places also. They refer to Talmidei Chachamim as the Balei Treisim. The Balei Treisim means the warriors who use the weapon of a tris. But the tris is not a weapon. A tris is a shield. So what's the weapon? If they're loichem machamte shel Torah, so what's the weapon? So Rav Kook writes in one of his letters, in the collected letters they have, he says, sometimes you have to wage an offensive battle, and you got to have a machine gun, you got to have a tank, and you got to drop bombs and demolish the enemy. And sometimes you're not interested in demolishing the enemy. He's a nice guy. It's Eilu Devel Devel Kim Chaim. You just want to have a melchama to defend your position. My position is also legitimate. My position is also acceptable. So he says, if you're fighting with Apikursim, you're fighting with people, he's talking fighting against the maskilim who didn't believe in the whole Torah, didn't accept anything. So you don't call us Balei Treisim. Then you got to use bombs, you got to use tanks, you have to demolish the enemy and destroy him. But he says, if you're fighting with other Talmidei Chachamim, so what he has to say is also good. So you should fight to defend your position, but not to destroy his position. There's nothing wrong. So that's why when you have the Gemara says, but Rabbi Gamliel heard the Rabbi Shua. Someone snitched to Rabbi Gamliel. The Rabbi Shua thinks that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. It's not a Chayvah. Rabbi Gamliel held that it was a Chayvah. So he said he's going to make a whole stink. He's going to embarrass him publicly. So he said, let's wait till the Balei Treisim come into the Beis Medrash, and then we're going to get him. So why did he call the Balei Treisim? Because he recognized Rabbi Gamliel recognized Rabbi Shua is entitled to his opinion. Doesn't sound like it's from the Gemara. Sounds like Gamliel didn't recognize that. That's why they fired him. But that's Rav Kook interprets. Why did he say Balei Treisim? He said because he recognized that he's entitled to his opinion, but he wanted to defend his own opinion. That's why he calls it Balei Treisim. Well, it's Mechamta Shel Torah. It's a IDF. It's a defense force. It's not an offensive battle. It's a defensive battle. The Pasuk says that they gave names to all of the 13 children, and one of them was called Yisachar. See, there's a famous question exactly how to pronounce the name Yisachar. So I think in most shuls they pronounce it Yisachar. Throughout the whole Tanakh, it's pronounced Yisachar as if there were only one. It's spelled with two shins. They pronounce it as if there were only one sin, as if there were only one shin. And I think there's a Rashi on Divayam, if I'm not mistaken. I think Rashi on Divayam is not by Rashi, but someone says on Divayam that the word Yisachar is a kriyaksiv. It's a kriyaksiv, it means that you're always supposed to pronounce it Yisachar. In fact, there's a tshuva in one of the achrayim, let's say a person's name is Yisachar, when you write it get, or you write it ksiv, so how do you write it? So some say a klal, whenever there's a kriyaksiv, so kriyaksiv is an issue for Tanakh, but as far as we're concerned, writing a ksuba or writing a get or something like that, so you write according to the Kri. Why should you write? You're going to have a Kri and Iksiv and Iksuba. Kri and Iksiv and Ishtam Achir is Chomet. Kri and Iksiv is a Psal Mocha. Allah Ha Moshe Messina, the Gemara says, for a Tanakh. What has it got to do with Iksuba and Iksuba? You write according to the Kri. Why should you write according to the Iksuba? That's what some say. And others say, no, it's not a Kri Iksiv. It doesn't say anybody that it's a Kri Iksiv. So others insist that, others say the first time it appears, the first time it appears you should pronounce it Yisoschar, and then the rest of the times you should pronounce it Yisoschar. Some say the whole Chumash Bereishis, whenever the name appears you pronounce it Yisoschar. Others have a tradition up until Parshas Pinchas you pronounce it Yisoschar, and after Parshas Pinchas then you change. Why should it switch in Parshas Pinchas? And that's what they all quote from the Medrash. that it says in the Chumash that Yisachar had children, and he named one son Yov. At the time that he gave the name, he was not aware that Yov is the name of an Avodah Zarah. So after the kids started to grow up a little bit, they found out that Yov is the name of an Avodah Zarah. So Yisachar was embarrassed. What a stupid name he gave him. So he decided he's going to give him, I have an extra shin, my name is Yisachar, so I'll give him a shin for my name. We'll change his name to Yashuv. So in Parshas Pinchas that appears, the name of Yisachar's son is Yashuv. That's the same son, Yov, but they added on a shin to his name. So the Medrash says that Yisachar himself gave him the shin, he donated the shin for his name. So that's why many, by Chassidisha, they have like that. Soloveitchik says that that's what they did in Volozhin. Not familiar? I wasn't there. He said that's what they did in Volozhin. Up until Pinchas, it sounds like Chassidisha nice.
No,
so,
it's food also.
Yeah. By Yekis?
Yeah.
Okay. So not only by Hasidim. Okay. See, I saw it to me, it sounded like Hasidim. So there is such a practice that up until Parshas Pinchas he lain Yisachar, and then from Parshas Pinchas on, when the son's name appears as Yoshu instead of Yov, he already gave away the shin. So from there on you call him Yisachar. I think they say that Rabbi Pirsh Melech Dinava, he called the name of his sefer Bnei Yisachar. Why is Bnei Yisachar? Because if someone told him, well, one of the Chassidish Rebbes, I wrote HaKadosh, and told him he was from Shevet Yisachar. Okay, but why is it called Bnei Yisachar? Because you called Bnei Yisachar. So I think they said that he also felt that you pronounced it Yisachar. I don't know. Gotta look, dig up the archives. Why should it not be called Yisachar? I think there is such a practice also, that you read it always Yisachar. Some lane always Yisachar, some lane always Yisachar. And then the compromise, they're different. I think that's what's usually assumed, that it's a Kriya Ksiv. The Pasuk speaks about the tremendous Hatzlacha in business that Yaakov Avinu had because of his honesty. The Rambam quotes this in Hilchos Chiyus, Vayifetz ha'ish miyod miyod, vayilotzon rabos ha'shvachos v'avodim v'gmalim v'chamorim. His employer, his crooked father-in-law, Lavan, kept on switching his salary and kept on cheating him. And despite the fact that his employer was a cheat and a crook and a ganev, he tried to be as honest as he could, and he put in a full day's work. It says, he was honest to the best of his ability. So the Rambam says that the Torah tells us this story to promise that a person will be matzliach in business if he will stay honest. Some Achrayim is right that it is the correct pronunciation, but they say it's not supposed to be Yisachar, it's supposed to be something else, and Yisachar is a slurring of the name. What else could it be? I already forgot one. I don't know. They have different opinions about what the correct pronunciation is of the Yisachar. I think Rav Soloveitchik's practice in Boston was that up until Parshas Pinchas he had them laying it twice, Yisachar and Yisachar. After Parshas Pinchas, then they only laid once Yisachar. But he said in Volozhin they didn't do it like that. He said in Volozhin up until Pinchas they laid it Yisachar once, and after Pinchas they laid it Yisachar once. The Gemara in Brachas points out that Tekef Latamat Chacham Bracha, that the when the children of Lavan were jealous of Yaakov, and they said, Lokach Yaakov is kol asher li avinu, ome asher li avinu also is kol ha-kovid hazeh, ain't kovid al ha-mamon, he got rich, ain't kovid al ha-mamon, that's a medrash on this pasuk, also is kol ha-kovid hazeh, ain't kovid al ha-mamon. There's another Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, ain't kovid al ha-tarish ha-nebe, kovid ha-chamim yin-cholo, it's a stira gemurah. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, ain't kovid al ha-tarish, and here it says, ain't kovid al ha-mamon. So this famous word from the Vilna Gaon, that the word kovet is sometimes spelled molig with a vav, sometimes chaser. Here it's spelled without a vav. Kovet chaser, is Mamon. And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos quotes Kavod Chachamim Michala. That pasuk in Mishlei is the width of us. So he says the Kavod Malei, the real Kavod, is Torah. Kavod Chaser is Mamon. Okay. But the pasuk says that the Bnei Lavan were jealous of Yaakov, and there was friction between the two. So then Yaakov confronted them and he said, look, you remember that when I came to work for your father, he wasn't so rich, and it's all because of me that he got rich, and I'm entitled to my share, and everything is honest, and so on. And he had it out with them. So the Gemara points out from this pasuk that taken for Talmud Chacham Brachah. Mar has such a similar comment on Yosef, that when Yosef was in prison, so it says from the day that Yosef started to work for his employer over there, everything was matzliach. Everything worked, he was very matzliach. So that's why there are some people who used to take the Lubavitcher Rebbe into partnership with them. Take him to Talmud Chacham Brachah. They would write out all the documents that they're the shooter. The Lubavitcher Rebbe gave him permission to use him as a partner, provided they pay all the taxes and everything. They'll be happy to be their partner to give them a hatzlocha in business. Take him to Talmud Chacham Brachah. Okay. And it worked. Speak to the guy downstairs. He always used to have the Rebbe was always his partner. But some people are still mashat of the Rebbe. He doesn't do it anymore. He used to. No more Rebbe. Yeah, Galvina had a lot of children from four wives. He didn't have from one wife. He didn't have 13 children from one wife. A little different. Okay, and now a word from the Chafetz Chaim.